Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
For eons and eons, man has looked up at the stars and wondered who the Great One was, in whose hand he lived. Who was the one steering the seeming incontrollable events of his life? Who controlled the melting of the ice caps, or the creation of species, or the demise of civilizations? Who oversaw all of this? Beloved ones, our task has been to evolve the knowledge of the infinite about portions of its own being. It has been our sacred duty at all times to live our highest truth, to live from the core of our being. And today we're going to see how this destiny has evolved in and of itself. For you see, even as the infinite who created us has changed, so have our roles as its creations. We have gone through the same stages that all relationships experience, and we have arrived as mature co-creators. And today we're going to see how the completion of eons of cycles of the Fall concluded in August of 2006 and has affected profoundly the way we create our realities. Now, our relationship with the divine infinite being, who like ourselves is an individuated being, but because within all life that which is feminine predominates over that which is male in terms of being more of it, the infinite being is in fact a mother, the divine mother that birthed all life. With the mother, we have gone through many different stages, and I was most privileged to be able to receive from the history keepers that have kept upon the mother's instruction the history of our earth and civilizations upon it, and its origins in other areas of the cosmos, and its destiny that it has fulfilled multiple times, eons after eons and cycles after cycles of existence. The history had been kept by a kingdom, hidden so well, for during dark times there were those who would have wanted us to forget our history. This is given as the second part of the book that I have published in May of 2007, and it is called The Gift of the Unicorns. In that, by studying the relationship we have had with the Divine Mother throughout eons of time, it can clearly be seen that we have gone through the exact same stages that any relationship would go through. That we have come from the infantile stages into a maturity in which we have been given more responsibility. We have made it through our childhood, and we have arrived at least as a young, mature adult. But what are these stages that we have made it through, and how does this relate with the mother? The evolutionary stages of a relationship are in fact the same for interpersonal or cultural relationships. first stage is dependence. In this stage, similarities are stressed. If we examine this in the relationship of couples, they experience this as their initial stage of being in love. They feel euphoric because they see themselves in the mirror of the other person. Culturally, this manifests as tribal life, where the individual is expected to behave in a certain way in exchange for the tribe's support. Now, my brothers and sisters, what this first stage is the seeking of sameness. It is uniformity. We wanted to see similar traits in our deity as we have within ourselves. Thus we saw the incredible purity of the mother as punitive, punishing us for what we do wrong. The way a little child would of his own volition stick his hand into the fire and then in fact think that the mother has punished it. Mother gave us freedom of choice within safe enough boundaries that even though we may stub our toe and bump our head as we toddled in diapers through the room, we can nevertheless not fall out of the window. We have sought sameness in the first stages of being in love. The couple might say, "Oh, I know this is my soulmate. He likes chocolate just the way I do." Or, "Oh, she must be the right woman for me. Do you know she also eats her food with her left hand?" The silliest little similarities are sought, but the feeling of at least belonging to another, of losing that individuality, and therefore culpability, and with it, responsibility. For in sameness, we have tribe consciousness, and they function as a unit. It is a very, very comfortable place to be. And I can imagine that the pain of tribal life, when forced change came upon it, for it refused to evolve itself, must have been extremely uncomfortable and painful. Because life was erupted from a place where sameness gave predictability and belonging. And so it was with the mother. And you will note how the earth had a great cataclysm occur as it tore through a membrane in space, catapulted away from its original birthplace. The ancient Egyptians knew of this original birthplace of the earth and of humanity's plight upon it. When forced change came upon them and their relationship with the Divine Mother changed from total dependence to the next stage, in the Gift of the Unicorns, as well as in the next book, which also gives profound insights into man's history and that of the earth, called Opening the Doors of Heaven, The Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis, published at the end of 2007. We will note that when they were thrust out of that position of behaving like children and trusting that they were being taken care of, they were put into the next stage, which is codependence. So now, life had proved itself to become a little more unpredictable. The child had gone from a very loving environment, from a very protected environment, into kindergarten. And now other children took its toy, hit it over the head with a book, and did things that were unpredictable. And all of a sudden, it was seen that there is indeed a limit to the mother's protection. It was blamed upon her. Was she not watching at certain times? Or perhaps it was that they had done bad conduct, and this was a punitive mother. For in codependence, there is nevertheless a dependency on the tribe with some minor independence. In other words, there is the exploration of differences within the comforting arms of the sameness. The kindergarten child, nevertheless, can run home to mother at the end of the day. It is experienced in North America, especially in Canada, where there is strong tribal life, but members work in cities where they can earn more money, but they can still step back into the safety of the tribe. There is codependence. During dependence, in tribal life, there is the understanding that they do not step out of the box, that their behavior is dictated by the tribe in exchange for its protection. When such a belief is shattered, and in our case it occurred when the earth removed drastically out of its position in space and life was lost on the outside, we enter codependence, that place where some individuality is expressed, but there is still a strong desire to identify with each other, and no one steps too far out of the box. And so, as the members in North America, they still retain strong ties of dependence with the tribe.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almin. To learn more about Almin and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
It is in this state of codependence where we pray and ask to be saved and believe that we will be. It is in this place of codependence where we still believe that whether we get good or bad from the infinite being that gave us life, that it in fact depends on exactly how much favor we can curry with it. Still an infantile state, a child in kindergarten. Let's take a look at what Khalil Gibran, the Lebanese poet, says of prayer in the book called The Prophet. Then a priestess said, "Speak to us of prayer." And he answered, saying, "You pray in your distress and in your need. Would that you might pray also in the fullness of your joy and in your days of abundance. For what is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether?" In other words, my brothers and sisters, to pause here for a moment, he is saying that our prayers tend to be that of the codependent, asking to be saved, instead of that that which blends with our highest existence as a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience, superimposed over all that is, and knowing that all things are within. For if it is for your comfort to pour your darkness into space, it is also for your delight to pour forth the dawning of your heart. And if you cannot but weep when your soul summons you to prayer, she should spur you again and yet again, though weeping, until you shall come laughing. When you pray, you rise to meet in the air those who are praying at that very hour, and whom, save in prayer, you may not meet. In other words, what he is saying is, it is in our expanded state that we have become one with all life. And it is from this place that we co-create our destiny, rather than calling upon the infinite being to save as though we were an infant. Therefore, let your visit to that temple invisible be for naught but ecstasy and sweet communion. For if you should enter the temple for no other purpose than asking, you shall not receive. And if you should enter into it to humble yourself, you shall not be lifted. Or even if you should enter into it to beg for the good of others, you shall not be heard. It is enough that you enter the temple invisible. I cannot teach you how to pray in words. God listens not to your words, save when he himself utters them through your lips. And I cannot teach you the prayer of the seas and the forests and the mountains. But you who are born of the mountains and the forests and the seas can find their prayer in your heart. And if you but listen in the stillness of the night, you shall hear them saying in silence, "Our God, who art our wing itself, it is thy will in us that willeth. It is thy desire in us that desireth. It is thy urge in us that would turn our nights, which are thine, into days, which are thine also. We cannot ask thee for aught, for thou knowest our needs before they are born in us. Thou art our need, and in giving us more of thyself, thou givest all." My brothers and sisters, so many have wondered why pain has been such a reward for those who have lived their way in as impeccably as they possibly can. And so they have been scared to try and create, thinking that we will encounter pain, that we will create pain, for that which it takes to create might not be within us. But, beloved ones, that is because we have sought meaning instead of clarity. The long thread that we weave from lifetime to lifetime is but one in a multitude, in a tapestry that exists. The tapestry is the big picture. We cannot see that we have formed beautiful creations in design by our thread coming into visibility here, receding into the ocean of life, which is the back of the tapestry there. This is the meaning that we cannot get. We do not know why what is before us is there. But in fact, we can seek clarity. Clarity is the stitches. All we know is where our thread needs to be stitched next. That is all. And how do we know that? Exactly as the prophet has said through the mouth of the poet Gibran. It's in the silence that we hear the song of love and the song of life move through us. And as of August 2006, we have been instructed to create, through love, the longings of our hearts. Before that, creation did in fact occur differently. And that is why we at times created innocently painful experiences. Before August of 2006, thoughts fell into the reservoir of our heart and acted upon awareness, which is the substance of things hoped for. It clustered this awareness into manifestation. And so we created as co-creators, but we did not know it. And because we dealt with distortion within mind, part of what we created was distorted. Beloved ones, the Infinite Mother has recreated all hearts in pristine purity. This is to reestablish the voice of conscience, even though minds might yet be distorted. As of August, a new way of creation has come forth. And it is creation through the heart. We shall explore this more. But let us go back to prayer and looking at why we are so afraid of pain. We will read a bit again from Khalil Gibran's section on pain. And a woman spoke saying, "Tell us of pain." And he said, "Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so must you know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life? Your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burns your lips, has been fashioned of the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears." Beloved ones, be not afraid to create your circumstances. Stand forth. Is it that we are not to pray anymore at all? Well, no. That is still there for you. For you see, from codependence, prayer should go to the next stage of relationship with the Infinite Mother, which is independence. In personal interaction, each individual becomes almost desperate to find his or her own identity. This is the stage of independence. Studying the history of the earth, which is vital for light workers to know, for it gets the energy of our ley lines flowing strongly and purely once again. You will see that finally when they saw that even though they bargained and pled and promised in order to get divine assistance, their own distortion brought about yet another fall and cataclysm. And so it came that they finally knew they had to rely on themselves, and an adolescent was born. In the modern mechanized societies, all types of insurance are needed. There's no tribal support. In apartments, people live without knowing their neighbor's name. That's because we live now in independence, seeking differences. Beloved ones, so too, prayers would change from the infantile state to one of independence.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almin. To learn more about Almin and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Prayers when we are in a state of independence, of that young adolescent that rebels with all his might against parental intervention, can sometimes leave humans feeling very abandoned. For they have before bargained and pleaded and tried to continue to have faith in whatever form of God they have prayed to throughout the ages of human existence. Where are the answers to our prayers? Why does God not respond when we sincerely try to do our part? Some have steadfastly maintained their belief in a God who rewards good with good and withholds or punishes when they are not good. They've even done the same to their children. After all, they've been told by their churches that if they cannot hear the voice of God or their prayers are not answered, there is something wrong on their end. This has left the human race, which knows deep within that life should not have to be this hard, with an unbelievably large reservoir of guilt and shame. This guilt is passed on from generation to generation, exacerbated by the teachings of most primary religions, that flesh is an unworthy and unholy vehicle for the spirit. How can one embrace life joyously when housed in a sinful or unworthy body? A joyless life is simply a slow death, and thus, instead of embracing life, much of humanity embraces death. This manifests self-defeating circumstances and a life filled with failure. Meanwhile, grief, the desire to change one of the previous emotions that we had until August of 2006, prods and prods us into better perception and understanding. This vicious cycle of guilt, shame, abandonment, and grief in which mankind has been immersed is so painful that one of two things happen. Either they live in their heads, suppressing by their selective perception their feelings of anguish, or they live hedonistically. Either way, their lives are so shallow that they become more and more fruitless in yielding insights. The pain level has to increase because the very existence that we have and the very reason for it, which is to evolve awareness, is ignored through such a life. And thus, more and more events are in our way that cause us to want to change. As the pain increases, they turn to drugs, alcohol, television, shopping, eating, working, or even some form of religion or service that makes them feel worthy again. Some hide their pain at being abandoned by God in rage, living destructively as though taunting God. If you're not there for me, there's no point in being good. Others, having a small fragment of what they perceive as truth, cling to it for dear life in this scenario of uncertainty. They try to convert everyone along the way to their only truth, which is a great deal of dogmatic fervor. What are the perceptions that life is prodding us to get about what prayer really is? And how can we be masters of our own fate, co-creators with the infinite? Well, let's look at this. We've been praying to God the Father, God the I Am, or God the Creator. This is the equivalent of the physical body asking the mental or emotional body to make it better, when the unresolved portions of the mental and emotional bodies are the very reason for the physical discomfort. In other words, we expect the patient to be the doctor. Let me explain this. If you draw a vertical figure 8, the above is the mental and emotional body of the infinite. The lower is the etheric and the physical body in which we dwell. God the Father is that which represents the top loop. That top loop is the reason the bottom loop is having to have such a struggle, for it is resolving all unknown portions of that top loop through its experience. So we are truly asking the patient to be the doctor. One solution has been to communicate with our own highest self that holds the blueprint for our various lifetimes, and it's far more conducive to realigning with our purpose. However, if we wish to impose our will on the path we are walking in a way that does not serve that purpose, assistance will be withheld. If our prayers are for the planet, which is part of the physical body of God, then directing our petition to the three higher bodies of the infinite, which is the spiritual emotional, the spiritual mental, and the spirit body, which is actually the mother, is the most direct channel. My brothers and sisters, that vertical figure 8, it was discovered in January 2005, had a vertical component, a vertical figure 8, making it look like a four-petaled flower. It is the vertical body that are these higher three bodies of the infinite being. That is, in fact, the Holy Mother that gave birth to the Holy Father that represents that top portion that we discussed before. So, another problem was prayers may take longer to answer than we realize, because the very nature of the word density denotes a more complex relationship between time and space. This means the process by which the purpose of the infinite unfolds is slowed. There's a much longer gap between cause and effect. The suffering that we have because prayer takes so long has until recently not been solved. Suffering has preceded and prompted perception. And so somehow the unfolding of humankind's awareness will be less painful as a result of our prayers, even though that process may take place over thousands of years In other words, we have had the problem that our prayers did help, but we couldn't see it because it was taking a much different time. It is only this year that the Infinite Mother Goddess, in order for more assistance to come in, for instance, from the angelic realms, has synchronized time between all the bodies of the Infinite. We are now on the same time today, but for eons we have not been. So, if we become free from expectations as to outcome or timing, if we see that suffering is not the real tragedy, but failing to use the priceless opportunity of learning information never accessed before and which we have contracted to learn, life becomes a lot easier. We've come to the place in the cosmos where new insights can be obtained, and then failing to learn them places the burden on others who now have a double load to cope with. The one who embraces challenges the only way to gain new knowledge has nothing to pray for. You know, let us say that a little differently. A student prays for truth. A master creates truth spontaneously, moment by moment. Another problem is that we feel we cannot receive and hear guidance from higher realms. And so how can we become co-creators? In some instances, we may even feel as though our suffering is unfair, since it comes to prod us into change when that would not be necessary if God would just tell us what to do. After all, is it not our obedience or the relinquishing of our will that the Infinite wants? The Mother Goddess, or God in whatever form perceived, is light. Light is the unknown, is the known. What we have explored until August of last year, which is 2006, is the unknown. How can we ask the Infinite, which is comprised of light, which is known, about the unknown, when it is our duty to turn the unknown into the known through experience? As of August, the illusion, meaning the unknown portions of the God's being, the Goddess's being, has been solved. It is only since then that we have a new assignment, to find the way of creating life in a new and beautiful way through the pure emotions of our heart, that Mother might explore herself and unknown ways of expressing that which is. In other words, my brothers and sisters, we have been dealing with the unknown. The Infinite couldn't help us with it. But now, we are exploring the known, and ways in which to live life as gloriously as we possibly can. Martyrdom is at an end, and it is through the silence of our mind that we connect with the Infinite Mother and enter that fourth stage of relationship, which is the adult stage, interdependence. It is only there where there is unity of the one life within the diversity of life forms. It is here where maturity is reached.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the Infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness, leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Almeen's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almeen's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
As we enter this level of a young adult, the level of interdependence, where there is unity within diversity, for in the previous stage all we could encounter was diversity, and we didn't know where we should find our guidance from. But in this stage, there is a connection within. It is a place of mastery that it is time for all of us to reach. It is the time where we know that it is through our heart that the infinite and divine mother speaks. But there is yet a challenge. For now we know that as we co-create, we are in fact affecting reality in a very dynamic way. Instead of seeking truth, we are the masters that create it. But how shall we know if what we create is indeed good or evil? You see, my brothers and sisters, there is only one choice in the entire cosmos. What is life enhancing and what is not? Let us take a look at this concept of good and evil. As the prophet says, that little book written so long ago by the Lebanese poet about good and evil. For what is evil but good, tortured by its own hunger and thirst? Verily, when good is hungry, it seeks food even in dark caves. And when it thirsts, it drinks even of dead waters. You are good when you are one with yourself. In other words, what he is saying is that if you are not at one with yourself, is when there is a possibility that what you do might not be life-enhancing. Being life-enhancing, or good, as it is commonly called, cannot be otherwise, my brothers and sisters, when you live a path with heart, when your actions are dictated by the feelings of your heart, pure and clear, unity with the Divine Mother, within the diversity of our own expression. And when you are not one with yourself, you are not evil, for a divided house is not a den of thieves. It is only a divided house. And a ship without rudder may wander aimlessly among perilous isles, yet sink not to the bottom. You are good when you strive to give of yourself. Yet you are not evil when you seek gain for yourself. For when you strive for gain, you are but a root that clings to the earth and sucks at her breast. Surely the fruit cannot say to the root, "Be like me, ripe and full and ever-giving of your abundance." For to the fruit giving is a need, as receiving is a need to the root. you are good when you are fully awake in your speech. Yet you are not evil when you sleep, while your tongue staggers without purpose. And even stumbling speech may strengthen a weak tongue. You are good when you walk to your goal firmly and with bold steps. Yet you are not evil when you go thither limping. Even those who limp go not backwards. But you who are strong and swift, see that you do not limp before the lame, deeming it kindness. These are important points. For you see, my brothers and sisters, there often is a false modesty of not wanting to shine too brightly. For traditionally, the tribe has rejected those who shine thusly. For it is uncomfortable, seeking sameness in their tribe, and tribes come in many forms. It can be a New Age community. It could be a club. But those who shine too brightly make the tribe uncomfortable. They either have to reject such a one, or they themselves have to change from its comfort. So it has been traditionally a flaw in many that they dim their light beneath a bushel, hoping to be more acceptable to the tribe. But you who are strong and swift, do not limp before the lame. Life is not set by the common denominator only. Although they drag as an anchor, my brothers and sisters, also you shall fly, for you are the sails. It is raised by those who live their highest truth. You are good in countless ways, and you are not evil when you are not good. You are only loitering and a sluggard. Pity that the stags cannot teach swiftness to the turtles. In your longing for your giant self lies your goodness, and that longing is in all of you. And if I may interject this part, the foundation of every soul that lives today is in fact good. Tremendous purging has gone on since February of 2005, when an unconditional ascension beset not only the earth, changing many of the doomsday prophecies, but also all of the cosmos. I have written about this in multiple books, especially Secrets of the Hidden Realms. But you see, all those who have earned the right to live and live today have goodness, life-enhancing qualities as their foundation. And those qualities lie like diamonds in the dust. The answer to the starry skies, my beloved ones, is the infinite within you. And so it is that Gibran says, in some of you that longing is a torrent rushing with might to the sea, carrying the secrets of the hillsides and the songs of the forests. And in others, it is a flat stream that loses itself in angles and bends and lingers before it reaches the shore. But let not him who longs much say to him who longs little, wherefore are you slow and halting? For the truly good ask not the naked, where is your garment? Nor the houseless, what has befallen your house? Great and glorious is our opportunity to create through our life, through the emotional frequencies that has been given us since August of 2005. We have received love and trust, inspiration and peace, creativity and pleasure, empathy and acknowledgement, generosity and receptivity, encouragement and beauty, communication and assimilation, passion and joy, achievement and fun, enlightenment and contentment, empowerment and humor, and growth and satisfaction. These 12 pairs of pure emotion are your building blocks. Beloved ones, what will you build through the desires of your heart? Let it be a temple strengthened through the belief that you can and will do it. My great gratitude for sharing this time with you.